A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You've got a drill with a screwdriver bit chucked in. It's fine for deck screws. You're leaning into it, driving 3 inches through pressure-treated pine, and the clutch chatters when you hit depth. But then you're staring at a MacBook Logi board, or you're halfway through a $400 IKEA cabinet, with those little cam lock screws that strip if you breathe on them wrong, and suddenly that same drill feels like a sledgehammer.
This is the thing. Most tradespeople just accept the drill as the screwdriver. It's what's in the bag, it's what you've got batteries for, and honestly, for construction screws, it works. But the market has split in a way that most people haven't noticed yet.
Daniel sent us this one, and he's asking exactly that. He wants to know if you're driving screws almost exclusively. Especially precision screws for electronics. Why are you still using a drill with a bit? What should you actually be looking for on a spec sheet to get a tool that has real power but is purpose-built for driving? Something that can handle both laptop repair and furniture assembly. And he wants to know what's on the market and what we'd recommend.
The reason this question lands right now, and why it's more interesting than it would have been even 2 years ago, is that the cordless electric screwdriver category has bifurcated. On one side, you've got the ultralight electronics class, the iFixit ProTek screwdriver, the Makita DF-SOR-12DZ. These are precision instruments, 4-inch pounds of torque or less, designed for logic boards and phone repair. On the other side, there's this new category called installation drivers. Milwaukee's M12 installation driver, the DeWalt DCF-601, the Festool CXS, and these pack drill-like torque into a compact form factor with swappable heads. Most people in the trades don't even know the second category exists.
Which is wild, because it's the one that actually bridges the gap Daniel's asking about. He wants horsepower, but purpose-built. That's exactly what an installation driver claims to be.
Whether it delivers, especially down at the low torque end where electronics live, that's where the spec sheets get interesting and the real-world testing gets messy. Let's pin down why a drill can't just do this job. A drill's primary design goal is high RPM for boring holes. Torque is a secondary concern. An electric screwdriver's primary design goal is controlled torque delivery at lower RPM. These are fundamentally different mechanical optimizations.
Same form factor, completely different mission. It's like comparing a race car to a tractor, because they both have 4 wheels and a steering column.
And the numbers make it concrete. A typical cordless drill delivers 300 to 500 inch-pounds of torque. A logic board screw needs maybe 4. That's not a clutch problem, that's a sledgehammer and watch problem. Even on the lowest clutch setting, most drills bottom out around 15 to 20 inch-pounds before the mechanism even engages cleanly. You've already stripped the screw by the time the clutch thinks about doing its job.
The clutch on a drill is designed to disengage a construction-scale torque, not to feather down to laptop hinge territory.
Which brings us to what's actually on the market. I see 3 distinct categories now. First, the ultra-compact electronic screwdrivers, your iFixit ProTek, the Makita DF-SOR-12DZ, 2 to 5 inch pounds of torque, mechanical precision clutches, hex collets. These are surgical instruments, useless for furniture, perfect for a MacBook. General-purpose cordless screwdrivers. Bosch GO, the Skill SD561C-00. 5 to 15 inch pounds, adjustable clutches, usually a quarter inch hex. These are the compromise tools. They'll do an NVMe SSD install and a MALM bed frame, but they're not excelling at either end.
The third is the one Daniel probably hasn't seen. The installation drivers.
That's the Milwaukee M12 installation driver, the DeWalt DCF-601, the Festool CXS. 15 to 30 plus inch pounds, brushless motors, multiple swappable head attachments. These are built to replace drills for driving tasks entirely. You can sink a 3-inch deck screw with these, then theoretically dial the clutch down to setting 1 and do a laptop.
Theoretically being the operative word. That's where the spec sheets get interesting. Let's start with torque, because that's where the numbers get embarrassing for the drill-in-a-screwdriver-roll crowd. A typical PC case screw, the little M3.5 that holds your side panel on, needs about 3 to 5 inch pounds to seat properly without stripping. An M4 machine screw into a brass standoff, which is what your motherboard mounts with, needs 4 to 6. A number 8 wood screw into pine, which is half of what IKEA furniture uses, needs 10 to 15. And a 3-inch deck screw into hardwood. 25 inch pounds plus.
Your drill, the one sitting in your tool bag right now, delivers 300 to 500 inch pounds. That's 60 to 100 times what a logic board screw needs. The clutch on a drill is designed to disengage somewhere in the 15 to 20 inch pound range at its lowest setting, and even then, the engagement isn't clean. There's overshoot.
You're asking a mechanism built to slip at construction torque to feather down to laptop hinge territory. It's like trying to use a parking brake designed for a semi-truck on a bicycle.
That's the image. Now let's talk about what makes a clutch actually work for precision, because the mechanism matters enormously. There are two types, mechanical clutches and electronic clutches. A mechanical clutch is purely physical, spring-loaded detents, ratcheting balls that audible click, click, click when it slips. When the set torque is reached, the mechanism physically disengages. It's instantaneous.
An electronic clutch?
The motor has a current sensor. When the resistance spikes, meaning torque has hit the threshold, the controller cuts power to the motor. The problem is latency. Between the sensor detecting the spike, the microcontroller processing it, and the motor actually stopping, you've got milliseconds of overshoot. On a 3-inch deck screw, that's nothing. On an M2.5 screw going into a laptop hinge, that overshoot is the difference between seated and stripped.
The iFixit Pro Tech screwdriver uses a mechanical clutch. 4 settings. Physical disengagement. That's why it's the gold standard for electronics. The Milwaukee M12 installation driver uses an electronic clutch with 12 settings, and there are consistent reports of overshoot at the lowest settings.
Real-world testing bears this out. Take a DeWalt DCD-791 drill, 500 inch-pounds, lowest clutch setting, roughly 15, and try to drive an M2.5 screw into a laptop hinge. The clutch doesn't engage cleanly at that low end. The screw strips before the mechanism even realizes it should slip. Now compare Milwaukee M12 installation driver on clutch setting 1, roughly 5 inch pounds, versus the iFixit screwdriver on setting 2, roughly 4 inch pounds, both on a MacBook Air bottom plate. The iFixit never overshoots. The Milwaukee strips roughly 1 out of 10 screws.
1 in 10 is unacceptable if you're working on a $2,000 laptop.
But here's the trade-off. The iFixit tops out at 4 inch pounds. It literally cannot drive a number. 8 wood screw into pine. The Milwaukee can sink deck screws. So you're choosing between precision and power, and the clutch mechanism is the fulcrum.
Which brings us to RPM, because that's the other half of control. Drills run at 0 to 1500 RPM. Electric screwdrivers for precision work should run at 0 to 400. Higher RPM means the screw seats faster than you can react. By the time you realize it's bottomed out, the torque has already spiked past what the material can handle.
The Bosch Geo has this interesting variable speed mechanism. You press harder, it goes faster. It's actually clever for furniture assembly because you get intuitive speed control. But for electronics, it's dangerous precisely because you can't set a maximum. You press a little too hard on a seated screw, and suddenly you're at full RPM with no ceiling.
You want a tool that caps its own speed. The iFixit runs 0 to 200 RPM. The Skill SD561C runs 0 to 250. Those are numbers where you can actually feel what's happening.
One more spec that doesn't get enough attention, the chuck. Drills use 3-jaw chucks that add length and introduce wobble. When you're driving a screw into a recessed laptop hinge, that extra inch of chuck plus the bit wobble means you're fighting alignment the whole time. Dedicated screwdrivers use 1/4-inch hex collets or magnetic bit holders. Shorter, more concentric, less runout.
The iFixit goes a step further. It uses a custom magnetic collar that accepts standard 4mm bits instead of 1/4-inch hex. The bits are smaller and lighter, which means less rotational inertia. When the clutch disengages, the bit stops faster.
That's a detail most people would never think about, but it's part of why that tool feels surgical. Every component is optimized for the torque range it actually operates in. A drill's chuck is optimized for gripping a half-inch drill bit at 1500 RPM. Completely different design brief. Now that we know what to look for, let's walk through the actual tools and how they stack up. Starting with the installation driver class, because that's the one Daniel's really asking about, drill-like power and a screwdriver, first package.
The Milwaukee M12 installation driver is the one that keeps coming up. Model 2467-20. 250 RPM, brushless motor, and four swappable heads. You get an offset driver, a right angle, a standard quarter-inch hex, and a three-jaw chuck. It's like they couldn't decide which screwdriver to build, so they built all of them.
The head-swapping mechanism is genuinely clever. You pop a collar, pull one head off, snap another on. The offset head lets you drive screws flush against a surface where a regular driver body would hit the wall. The right-angle head gets into cabinet corners, and the torque range. Estimated 15 to 30 inch pounds means you can sink 3-inch deck screws into pressure-treated lumber.
We already flagged the electronic clutch issue. On setting 102, it overshoots about 1 in 10 screws on a MacBook bottom plate.
So if you're doing 80% furniture and 20% electronics, the Milwaukee is your tool. But you have to manage it. Test the clutch on scrap before you touch a logic board, and never trust setting one blindly. The overshoot is real, and on a $2,000 laptop, real gets expensive fast.
What about the DeWalt DCF601?
430 RPM. That's the problem right there. It's too fast for electronics work. The torque range is similar, 15 to 25 inch pounds, brushless motor, three head attachments instead of four. It's a great furniture assembly tool, and it'll drive deck screws all day. But at 430 RPM, you don't have the control window for small machine screws. DeWalt clearly optimized this for the construction side of the market.
The DeWalt is basically a compact drill that's honest about being a screwdriver. Useful, but not the bridge tool Daniel wants.
And then there's the Festool CXS 18.5 RPM, 18 inch pounds max torque, and here's the key difference, mechanical clutch with 15 settings. That's why it's the gold standard for precision plus power. You get the torque for furniture and the clutch precision for delicate work.
It costs $350 bare tool.
$350 plus. And it uses Festool's proprietary Centratec chuck system, which is excellent but locks you into their bit ecosystem. If you're already in the Festool world, it's a no-brainer. If you're not, the entry price is steep.
The installation driver class gives you three flavors. Milwaukee for versatility with a caveat. DeWalt for construction with a speed problem. Festool for precision with a price tag. None of them is a clean sweep.
Which is why the electronics first class still exists. The iFixit ProTec screwdriver, 4-inch pounds max, mechanical clutch with four settings, 0 to 200 RPM, standard 4mm bits. It is perfect for electronics. It is useless for furniture. You cannot drive a number 8 wood screw with 4-inch pounds. It literally stalls.
The Makita DF412DZ is even more specialized. 2.9 inch pounds max, 0 to 180 RPM. Mechanical clutch with 5 settings. Also electronics. Only. These are the tools you buy if you never assemble furniture. Or if you're fine grabbing a manual ratcheting screwdriver when the IKEA box shows up.
Daniel asked for one tool that does both, so let's talk about the compromise tools that actually work. The Bosch GO second generation, 5-inch pounds max, electronic clutch with that push-to-drive variable speed, 0 to 360 RPM. The form factor is excellent, it feels great in the hand, and for furniture it's good. But that electronic clutch is too imprecise for electronics below setting 3. If you're doing laptop work, you're gambling.
Then there's the dark horse, the Skill SD561C-00.
This is the one that surprised me. 8-inch pounds max torque, mechanical clutch with 7 settings, 0 to 250 RPM. It has a real mechanical clutch, not electronic, so there's no overshoot at low settings. And the numbers line up, setting 1 or 2 handles laptop screws, settings 5 through 7 handle furniture assembly.
There's a real-world test floating around where someone assembled an entire mom bed frame, 200 screws, with the Skill on setting 7, and didn't strip a single one. Then pulled the same tool out, dialed it to setting 1, and installed an NVMe SSD in a laptop.
The trade-offs are build quality and battery life. It's $40. The plastic doesn't feel like a Festool, and the internal battery is built-in rather than swappable. you're not getting Milwaukee level fit and finish. But for the price, it's the closest thing to a true bridge tool on the market right now.
Which brings us to batteries, because that's a factor Daniel specifically cares about for wireless computer repair.
Everything we've mentioned is 12 volt or lower, except the Festool CXS 18 at 18 volts. For electronics work, you want standard battery platforms. Milwaukee's M12, DeWalt's 12 volt max, so you're not stuck with proprietary packs when a battery dies mid-job. The iFixit screwdriver uses a built-in lithium-ion pack that charges via USB-C, which is convenient but not replaceable. When that battery degrades, you're buying a new tool.
Whereas with the Milwaukee or DeWalt, you just grab another battery off the charger, and if you're already in their ecosystem for other tools, you've got spares.
The Skill has a built-in battery too, and that's part of the $40 trade-off. It charges via micro USB, which feels dated, and runtime is maybe an hour of continuous use. Fine for a project, not for all-day trade work.
If I'm building a recommendation matrix out of all this, if you're 80% electronics and 20% furniture, get the iFixit screwdriver and keep a manual ratcheting driver for the occasional IKEA run. If you're 50-50, the Skill SD561C at $40 is the sweet spot. If you're 20% electronics and 80% furniture, go Milwaukee M12 installation driver, but test that clutch on scrap before you touch anything expensive.
That matrix is exactly right. The Skill is the answer for most people who ask Daniel's question. One tool, both worlds, mechanical clutch, $40. It's not glamorous, but the spec sheet doesn't lie.
What should you actually buy? Four things to take away from all of this. First, if you're scanning a spec sheet, there are three numbers that separate a real screwdriver from a drill-in costume. Max torque under 30 inch pounds. That's the ceiling, where a clutch can still engage cleanly at low settings. A mechanical clutch, not electronic. Physical disengagement means no overshoot. And RPM under 400. Because speed is the enemy of control when you're seating a 2mm screw.
Here's the cheat code. If the manufacturer doesn't list torque in inch-pounds, they're probably not designing for precision. A drill lists unit watts out or some marketing number. A real screwdriver gives you the torque spec because that's the whole point of the tool.
Second takeaway. For most people asking Daniel's question, the Skill SD561C-00 at $40 is the answer. Mechanical clutch, 8 inch-pounds max, 7 settings, 0 to 250 RPM. It'll do a laptop and a bed frame in the same afternoon. The plastic isn't premium, and the built-in battery won't last all day. But at $40, you're not marrying it.
Third, if you've got the budget, $200+, the Milwaukee M12 installation driver is the most versatile tool in this category. 4 swappable heads, enough torque for deck screws, and it runs on the M12 battery platform you might already own. But you have to test the clutch on scrap before electronics. The overshoot on setting one is real, and a MacBook is not where you discover it.
Fourth, the one that should be obvious but somehow isn't, never use a drill as a screwdriver for electronics. Even on the lowest clutch setting, you're bringing 300+ inch-pounds of potential torque to a screw that strips at 5. No clutch can close a gap that wide. The convenience is not worth a cracked PCB.
If you take nothing else from this episode, take that. Your drill is a great drill. Let it be a drill.
Here's the question I keep turning over. We've got this installation driver class. Milwaukee, DeWalt, Festool. That's basically trying to absorb the screwdriver market upward, packing drill-like torque into a screwdriver form factor. And we've got the electronics class. iFixit, Makita. That's pure precision. Do those merge? Does one eat the other? Or are we heading toward a world where a serious tradesperson just carries two dedicated screwdrivers?
I think the honest answer is bifurcation, at least for now. The engineering demands are pulling in opposite directions. To get the torque for deck screws, you need a motor and gearbox that simply can't feather down to 2 inch-pounds with zero overshoot. And to get surgical precision at 4 inch-pounds, you're building something that stalls on a number 8 wood screw. The materials and tolerances are different enough that I don't see one tool doing both perfectly anytime soon.
The Skill is an anomaly. A happy accident of cost-cutting that happened to land in the sweet spot.
That's exactly what it is. It's not that skill solves some deep engineering problem. They just built a modest 8-inch pound tool with a mechanical clutch, and it turns out that modest spec range happens to overlap both use cases. But it's not excelling at either end. It's adequate at both. That's not convergence, it's coincidence.
Though there's a future where the overshoot problem disappears. Brushless motors are getting faster response times, and the electronic clutches are getting smarter. The next generation of installation drivers, and we're expecting refreshes from Milwaukee and DeWalt late this year, might close that gap. If the motor controller can sample current 1,000 times a second instead of 100, that overshoot window shrinks to nothing.
That's the thing to watch. Right now, a mechanical clutch is still more reliable at low torque because physics doesn't have latency, but electronics are catching up fast. The Festool CXS18 already proves you can put a 15-setting mechanical clutch in a tool with real power. It's just expensive. If that mechanism trickles down to the $100 price point, the two categories might merge.
The question isn't whether it's possible, it's whether the market wants it. And I suspect the answer is yes, because nobody wants to carry two screwdrivers if one will do.
Which is exactly why Daniel asked the question. He's not alone. And for now, the answer is the Skillet $40, or the Milwaukee with a careful trigger finger. But check back in 18 months, this category is moving fast. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In antiquity, the Selknam people of Tierra del Fuego noticed that the volcano Monte Burney erupted with a distinct sulfur-chlorine gas signature that attracted a specific species of Andean condor, which would circle the plume for days. The Selknam believed the condors were messengers carrying prayers into the mountain, when in fact, the birds were exploiting thermal updrafts created by the heated gases.
So the condors were just catching a free ride on volcano thermals.
Efficient, I suppose. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want links to every tool we mentioned, plus a comparison spreadsheet with torque specs, clutch types, and prices, head to myweirdprompts.com. We'll see you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. Until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.